Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, the church was born the day you sent the Holy Spirit, the very presence and power of God to dwell in us for the specific purpose of being witnesses to the good news about your Son, Jesus Christ. Renew and revitalize us with a fresh wind of holy fire into our souls. Bring a dramatic transformation in our hearts and in our ministry, so huge that we know it's you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The resurrected Lord Jesus Christ has been walking and talking and eating with the disciples for 40 days. In every way, he was showing himself to be fully alive. Jesus, physically human, fully alive after dying on the cross. The scars are there. There is no doubt in the disciples, including Thomas, this is Jesus. And this Jesus is the Son of God, crucified, dead, and buried, and risen to eternal life. Acts 1 of the Holy Scriptures say that Jesus gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God, putting together all he had taught and prophecy and his suffering and dying to bring about redemption, like that conversation on the road to Emmaus. And one day while Jesus was eating with them, and yes, the scriptures say Jesus was eating with his disciples. He gave the command, Jesus gave this command, Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then Jesus goes on to say in verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The power is coming. The power is the Holy Spirit. And you will be witnesses. You will be my witnesses from Jerusalem and spread out from there to the ends of the earth. The power is coming to take the news about Jesus. Witness to all that Jesus said and did, that redeeming death and resurrection. The power to move the disciples off of their duffs and onto the dusty roads. And the power to give them courage to preach and teach. In Jesus' name, with the calmness to stay strong in suffering. All of that so that one day you, yes, you would know Jesus as the redeeming Lord in your life. But it doesn't stop there. That you know the redeeming power of Jesus Christ, you are sent just as the apostles of old were sent. You are sent because you have the exact same power they had. You have the Holy Spirit in you. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Not some of them filled. All of them were filled, just as Jesus promised. And that very same promise was given to you. Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. In those last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. God said he will pour his Spirit on all people. You are included in the all. Now, you may feel that you were missed or overlooked, or you may say, I have no Holy Spirit strength, or more than likely you may say, I don't speak in tongues. the promise of God was given to you. Perhaps up to this point in your life, you may not have had to or may not have tried to fully rely on the Holy Spirit like they did in days of old. Fully relying on God. We like to rely on ourselves, our ability, our strength, our resources. But when it is a God-sized task, only God can work that. Leading a lost soul to the redeeming cross of Jesus Christ is Holy Spirit work. Building the church of Jesus Christ is Holy Spirit work. How else can you explain those 120 or so believers in the upper room crossing the countryside in such power that a few hundred years later, the world was transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ? That 120 became millions and conquered Rome. They conquered Rome through the love of Jesus Christ, proclaiming through the cross of redemption. What happened then can happen now. The same Holy Spirit is here now in you to change the world. And we need the gospel of Jesus Christ to break narcissistic hearts and transform amoral minds through repentance and redemption that the blood of Jesus Christ purchased on the cross. This transformation will happen when we, as the church, live as the church and fulfill the purpose of the church, witness to Jesus Christ. One challenge to overcome is the understanding of spirituality. Whenever someone says, "I'm a Christian, I take my spirituality seriously, but I don't need the church. I don't go to church. And I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. My spirituality is okay." I've heard that many, many times, and the simple truth is that they do not understand spirituality, and they definitely do not comprehend the Christian faith. These may be hard words, but they are the truth. Apart from the church of Jesus Christ, you cannot be a fully alive Christian. You cannot be a fully alive Christian apart from the body of Christ. The local church is the body of Christ. And the local church, with all its human frailties and all its hypocrisies and all its failures, is still the church. Still is the body of Christ, chosen and birthed by God and the Holy Spirit to be the human structure that God works through. The organized church, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is the keeper of the sacred texts. The church is the keeper of the faithful witness as revealed in the sacred texts of the Old Testament and New Testament, the Holy Scripture. The church is the keeper of the sacraments, making sure that they're rightly administered, rightly taught, rightly used. The church, the local church, is the teacher of the faith, the discipler of the next generation. The local church is where the people of God gather to worship, pray, break bread, and give tithes and offerings to the Lord. In the local church, we marry, we baptize, and we bury as the church with a living faith full of hope because Jesus rose from the dead. The local church is where witnesses are raised up and sent into the world and where they come back and are encouraged and sent again. And those witnesses is you. All with the main focus and purpose to build the church of Jesus Christ. Lead the lost to the redeeming love of Christ Jesus. How important is the local church? Look through the missionary journeys of the apostles. Everywhere they went, they established a local church. Everywhere they went, they knew it was important to gather the believers together and appoint overseers over them. Most of the New Testament is letters written to local churches. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. To the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord's and ours. Or Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Or Philemon 2, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Thessalonians 3 John both record to the church. Galatians and Revelations has numerous times to the churches. These were written to the assembly of believers, not to lone individuals on their own spiritual journey, but to the assembly of believers, the body of Christ, the church. Now there's another problem that sometimes is the church forgets its main purpose and becomes a social gathering place more like a country club than a mission outpost. A country club exists to serve its members, take care of their needs, and if you are not a member, well, you're not a member, and we all know what that means. Private country clubs' service and amenities are for members. For example, this is how the Springfield Country Club describes itself on its website. The Springfield Country Club provides its members with a warm, relaxed, and friendly atmosphere that includes the highest standards of service and amenities. And reading through their website, everything is focused on its members. It's all about its members. Unfortunately, churches have fallen to that same thought pattern. Provide its members with, and you can fill in the blank. Now let's turn our focus back to what happened when the Holy Spirit came with power. The disciples didn't remain huddled in that upper room. The tongues were given as specific languages to draw attention to the power of God has come. And Peter rose up so he could preach the truth. It was all about people hearing the truth about Jesus and have faith awaken in them. Faith awaken in them by hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as the numbers grew, and because of circumstances, they began to take care of widows and others. So Stephen was appointed to the task with others, so that the main focus of the church would be on the preaching and teaching the faith in Jesus Christ. And even Stephen would witness as he went about his task. Everything was outward focused, other focus, so that others could hear the good news of Jesus Christ, and by hearing may come to have faith in Jesus Christ. Not about individuals having a spiritual experience and sent on their way. All about bringing individuals into the body of Christ. Fulfilling the commandment of Jesus in Matthew 28. Go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. As we heard in Romans 8, the Holy Spirit in you enables you to say, Abba, Father, you are a child of God. And that same Holy Spirit in you will lead you into a new life in Christ, leaving the old sin life behind, showing that you are a child of God. But don't leave it there. I am a child of God going to heaven. Don't leave it there. For that same Holy Spirit is in you to lead you to broken and lost lives. One after another, to show Jesus love and compassion and share the freeing word of grace and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. What this means is seeing all of life through the Holy Spirit in you. Making life decisions guided by the Lord for the sake of the lost. No longer seeking to maximize comfort, but seeking to maximize Christ in other people's lives. See the church on a holy mission, commissioned by God to reach the lost and the forsaken. See yourself as vital to the mission of the church, reaching the lost for Jesus. The mission of the apostles and all who were with them was so important that they were given the very presence and power of God, the Holy Spirit. The mission was so important, the very presence of God, the Holy Spirit, was essential. The Holy Spirit that built churches long ago is the same Holy Spirit here, now, with us. We have the presence and the power to reach the lost. We have God working here in and through us. Now open your life to a new direction for the living God to work through you to reach the lost. See yourself as important child of God, instrumental in sharing the saving truth of Jesus Christ. With the Holy Spirit in you, cry out, build your church through me. Can you do that right now? Can you cry out, build your church through me? I invite you together to cry out now, build your church through me. And then see what the Lord will do. The Lord will fill this church through you sharing Jesus. The Lord will do wonders here, for all of us have the promise to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This means you have the very presence of God in you. You have the very presence of God in you. And so I say for us, Lord, build your church through us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.